Thank you. So this morning we're gonna continue our series on getting over yourself, right? Asking the question, what if it's not about you? What if it's not about me? What if it's about Jesus and others and then me? And to start off, let me ask you this: have you ever come across instructions that were difficult to understand or unclear? Right? You ever bought something at IKEA? Sorry, Monica. Right? It's just pictures, right? Like, there's no instructions, and you have difficulty. Good friend of mine, that's actually the very end. Good friend of mine, Derek, I was traveling with him one time, and Derek was driving, and he's busy talking, but I knew the way. And as we're coming up to an intersection, I said to him, I said, turn left here, and Derek and turned right. And he's so busy talking, it took a little while for me to finally say, I meant the other left. And so then he turned around and he goes back. So sometimes, even when instructions are clear, they can seem unclear. We like to have clear directions in our life, right? Like we enjoy knowing what to do and how to do it. And in a moment, hopefully, we're going to have an example of some unclear instructions. These are things that people have experienced in life. What do you do there, right? I mean, you come up to that stop sign and you're hoping that you got food and some water in the car because you're probably going to be there a while, right? I mean, what are you going to do? we like clear instructions. We like to know how to do things, and it helps us. It makes us feel confident. But what do you do when God is directing you in a way that you are unsure about, or God's telling you to do something, asking you to do something, and you feel maybe confused about it or uncertain as to what it looks like, exactly what steps you should take, and you can kind of feel like you might end up in one of these kind of situations, right? Unsure where to go, what to do. And many of us have experienced that, the sense of God talking to us, instructing us to do something or to say something, and the uncertainty that can go with that. So God gives us, clear instructions lots of times in Scripture. And yet we can still find ourselves, even with those clear instructions, feeling uncertain about what to do, how to do things, how to live for Him, how to be like Him in this world. And so we see this in the story of Mary when Gabriel shows up to tell her about what's going to happen to her, right? And so we're going to read it. It's in Luke chapter 1. It starts in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son. It is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. And then the angel leaves her. Mary, right here, right? Mary gets a bit of a surprise. This is a twist to her life, right? She's got plans. She's got a direction. She's engaged to be married. And then God comes along and says, yeah, just this way a little. And you can see, she responds, and God fills in some of the details. helps her out, right? She's left with some questions. The fact of the matter is, for you and I, many times, what we experience lots of times in our walk with God is very similar to what Mary has experienced here. God tells us, asks us to do something, is instructing us, directing us in a certain way. And you can feel completely unqualified for it. Right? Mary's like, I can't get pregnant. I'm a virgin. That doesn't work. And God's like, I've got a plan. So God can be asking you to do something. He can be directing you in a certain way. And you might think, but I am not qualified for that. I don't know enough. I'm not right enough. Whatever you might think. And God says, you need to trust me. Just trust me. I've got a plan. My word will never fail. And so there's a couple things that we can learn from this story right here for us that helps us in getting over ourselves. There's two things. The first is this. It's the call to trust him, even when you don't fully understand what he's up to or where he's leading you. It's the call to trust him. And the second one is the call for everyday people to be used in supernatural ways. Everyday people to be used in supernatural ways. Mary was an everyday person that God selected and chose to do something supernatural through, that all of the world then benefits from. But that hasn't changed. It's meant to still work that way for you and I. So Mary gets the surprise, right? And she's left with some questions, and the angel fills it in, and I think he encourages her by saying, God's word will never fail. And then she responds. She ends, right? She ends the conversation with this statement, with a willingness to what God has to do, or what God is asking her to do. She says, okay, I'm in. I'm going to do that. Yes, God, I'll do what you want. She doesn't have all the details. She has what she needs for that situation. So the thing is that sometimes God works within our understanding. Many times he works despite our understanding, right? Because so Mary's saying, okay, I'll do what you want. Even though I don't fully understand this, I'll stick with the plan that you've laid out. Even though I don't understand it all, I don't necessarily have all the steps in place. Because we like clear instructions, don't we? They make us feel good. They make us feel secure. But this is a relationship with God. And there isn't always step-by-step instructions in a relationship, is there? Because it's based in love. And so while there are things that we're to do and to not do, that they're always based in a place of love with God, out of relationship. God knows our tendency to want to have, he knows our tendency as human beings. If we have step-by-step instructions, what often happens to us? In terms of, right, here's what I think happens to us. We check out of the relationship. We rely upon the instruction, the rule, as opposed to the person who gave it to us. Right? And so God would look at us and say, that isn't the intention. That isn't the way it's supposed to look. Where he always wants the instruction that he gives us to stay in connection to him and to who he is for us, with his spirit and his guiding and his leading, which is what you see here in the story with Mary. So you can feel, you can think and feel that you are completely unqualified for the things that God is calling you to. And God would say, it doesn't matter, because I've got a plan. My word doesn't fail. What he's looking for from us is the willingness to do what he's asking us to do, no matter what it might be, no matter how big or how scary it could seem. See, for Mary, suddenly to be found pregnant and not be married in that culture was incredibly shameful, but also, according to the Old Testament, would have required her to die. God was asking something really huge from Mary. If a woman was found pregnant outside of wedlock in that day and age, they would have taken her out to the gates, her and the man who made her pregnant, and they would have stoned them to death. I mean, This isn't just like, hey, guess what? You're going to be pregnant. Her very life's on the line here. And she says, okay, God, I'll do it. We don't always get to know and understand what God is asking, like the results of what God's asking us for. You know, we don't get to know that we'll be safe or that there won't be risk involved is what I mean. But what we can know is that his Spirit will help us, because he says, my word won't fail. And then he says, and this is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And so there's this place where he calls us to trust him, even when we don't understand the plan that he's up to. By knowing a couple things, by knowing that his word never fails, that what he asks us to do, whether it's found in Scripture or whether it's through his Spirit, we're going to talk more about that in a minute, that his word never fails, and then his Spirit will empower us, will help us to do it. God has never intended for the things that he tells us to do in Scripture or by the Spirit to be separated from the power of the Spirit that's within us. He's always intended for those two things to partner together in our lives. So God gives us instructions, day-to-day instructions, you know, big directives and instructions as individuals and as a movement, as a church. But he doesn't always give step-by-step instructions. Here's what I mean. So in Scripture, God tells us that we are the believers. We are to go and to affect nations, right? We're to change nations for Jesus with the good news of the gospel. This is what God has called us to. Right before Jesus goes to heaven, this is what he talks about. But in saying that, right, he gives us this big, huge directive. He doesn't say, and here's how you do it step by step. Now, he's given us some things, right? He tells us you tell people about the good news of Jesus. You love them. You serve them. You act and be like Jesus in this world. But it's not like he doesn't say, here's how you have the conversation with your coworker. Here's how you go to your neighbor and you love them like I would. Do you know what I mean? We don't always get that step by step that makes us feel more comfortable, because it's a relationship and he's looking for us to trust him. He's looking for us to lean into his guiding and his leading. Now, how he guides and leads us will never contradict what he tells us to do in his word. But we don't always get, right, the privilege or the understanding of all the steps that he has in mind. So I'll give you some examples. God tells us we're to love our enemies and to love our neighbors. Sometimes they're the same person. He tells us to love our enemies, but then, it's not like he gives you step-by-step instructions on how that looks. Because he's saying, you need to listen to me. Commit to the thing that I'm instructing you to, and trust me to guide you and lead you in loving people that don't like you, or loving people that have rejected you, or that are far from me. And so we have to trust him in guiding us and in leading us and helping us. You can think, but I am completely unqualified. I don't know enough. I'm not good enough or right enough. And God says, no, it doesn't matter. I have a plan. It's about what I'll do in you and through you as you're willing to listen to me, as you're willing to trust me that my word won't fail. See, God's going to ask you to take some risks in life. In fact, within this room right now, I believe that God would be talking to many of you about things he's asking you to do. From maybe getting involved in a ministry here in the church or out in the city somewhere. Maybe he's asking you to to talk to that coworker or your neighbor or family member and introduce your faith to them. Maybe he's asking you to do something different. He wants you to launch out into a business venture that you've been thinking about for a while. And he's saying, yeah, I'm with you on that. There can be all kinds of things that God is asking you to risk and he's leading you in. That Scripture would say, you might not find that specific example in Scripture, but God says, I'm never going to lead you in a way that's different than Scripture, but trust my Spirit as I guide you and lead you. See, there's this call to trust his leading. Because in trusting his leading, what happens is he conceives and creates supernatural things within us that the rest of the world benefits from. Our willingness, our obedience is key. So there's this call to trusting his leading. But how do you know? How do you know what God's asking you to do? And that, honestly, I've run into that question so many times as a pastor, but even just as a Christian myself, how do you know? God, is this really what you want? You ever find yourself asking that? Of course you have, right? So there's three ways that we know, okay? So the main way that we know what God wants is found in Scripture, right? What does the Bible have to say? The majority of life is covered in Scripture. In terms of what God wants from us, we can find it there. And so how we have a relationship with him, how we have a relationship with each other, and even with ourselves, who he is, who other people are to him and to us, and who we are, is all defined in there. It's the first place to look for guidance when you're not sure what to do. But as we talked about, sometimes Scripture gives you these big directives, these big instructions. And we have to then rely upon the leading of his Spirit in it, in terms of how we accomplish this. See, God wants us to win Campbell River for Jesus Christ. That there is good news for every single person that lives here. No matter how far they are from him right now, he's good news for them. And how that looks for one person can sometimes look different than how it looks for another. And who maybe I can reach, you can't. And maybe who you can reach, I can't. We need to listen to what his Spirit says and directs us. Some years ago, I was with one of my young adults, a guy named Adam. We were walking in a mall, and we'd been talking about sharing Jesus and, you know, listening to the Spirit's voice as he guides and leads. And we're walking down the mall, and Adam, you know, there's a small group of us, and Adam suddenly just veers from the group and goes towards these three very large men that are dressed like they're hardly like biker guys. The main guy, the guy, like there's, you know, three, and so they're traveling in a bit of a triangle, one and then two behind. The main guy was like 6'4", 300 pounds. He was huge, big man. And Adam walks up, and he says, "Excuse me, fellas." Now, Adam was like maybe a little bit taller than me and about half my weight. Okay, so he's real small. And he says, "Excuse me, fellas, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" And I'm thinking, you're going to meet eternity tonight, Adam. Right? And so he says this to him, and then he doesn't even give him a chance to respond. And he says, "I'm a Christian. And I just felt that Jesus told me I'm supposed to come and talk to you. I'm supposed to pray for one of you because there's something that God, that you want, that you've been asking God for, and he wants to meet you right now." And the one guy behind, he was not into it. He was kind of making fun of it, and he was telling Adam to get lost. But the main guy in the front, the big guy, was visibly moved. And he said, "Yeah," he says, "Yeah, I need, pray for me." And so Adam prayed for him, and he talked to him about Jesus. Well, his buddies waited off to the side because the one guy was certainly not into it. And then he came back, you know, and in a way I'm like, "Oh, I'm so glad you're still alive, because as your pastor, like, that's a lot of paperwork for me if you got killed." And, kidding. You know, but I'm relieved and yet so incredibly impressed by his boldness and his willingness. And Adam said, "You know, I was just thinking about it, because I asked him, I said, like, why them?" And this is what I'm trying to get at in terms of how do you know the Spirit's leading? And so Adam said, he says, "We're walking, we're talking about this." He said, "And I just happened to look across in the hallway in the mall." He said, "And it was like I just focused on them." He said, they highlighted to me, right? It was like my focus, I was zoomed in on them suddenly. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, "Go talk to them." And I just said, "Yes." And he said, "And I went." So how do, you know, this is one of the ways that we learn how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So, because we ask the question, how do I know? How do I know? Well, this is on-the-job training all the time. Be honest, it's on-the-job training. We like clear instructions. And there are some, absolutely, but not always, because this is a relationship. It's the two together. And so what you'll find is that the Holy Spirit will speak to you in thoughts. So when you suddenly have a thought about doing something for him that maybe you weren't thinking about, if it suddenly comes into your mind, stop and it's probably him. If it wasn't something you were thinking about or considering, it's most likely him telling you, go talk to that person, go pray for that person. You should be involved in helping Bill Williams hand out, presents to the homeless. I don't know what God might be saying to you. Whatever it is, right? If it's a thought that if it's not something that you were tracking with, but it comes to you, pause and say, okay, Lord, is that you? I've found most of the time it is, but I've also found that the thought that seems to come out of nowhere, I'm usually pretty quick to dismiss, thinking that it wasn't God. And I've had to learn, because it's on-the-job learning, I've had to learn that it is him. And trust him. We have to trust him. The call is to trust him, even when we don't understand. And just because we trust him and we're obedient doesn't always mean that we're going to get a reaction that we like. Of the three guys that Adam, right, talked to, there was one guy that really was very unhappy that Adam had interrupted them and that he was talking about Jesus. It's just going to be some of what happens because there is spiritual conflict that's going on in people's hearts and lives. Right? The enemy does not want to give up, and yet we're called to go and to be light in darkness. And so, the Spirit speaks to you through thoughts. He can speak to you through impressions. You can just suddenly know and feel something. I just feel I'm supposed to do this. I just know it. For me, that's one of the most common. I just suddenly know something. I feel it, understand it. There's people that get pictures. It's actually probably fairly common because God understands that we're visual people. So when you get a picture, you're going to see it in your mind's eye, like your imagination. Because God works in our imagination. And so, if it isn't something that you've been dreaming about or thinking about, or maybe it is, because sometimes God does that too. He's like, what you dream, I want to dream. And of course, we would say, what you dream, God, I want to dream. And so he works in those ways and helps us. This is how you can know his guiding and his leading. The thing, and part of the, one of the things to know about that, when you, and there may be other ways that he guides and leads, but the main thing to know about this, as you feel that directive, as you feel that instruction, know and understand that it will never be contrary to what he already says in Scripture. Okay, it'll always line up with what the things that he's told us to do and to be and who he is for people that's within Scripture, within the Bible. See, God never intended for the directions of Scripture to be separated from the power of his Spirit. They're always to be together. And in fact, I think Scripture is just always the invitation into the power and the encounter of who God is. Jesus demonstrated this kind of lifestyle for us. Right, where the truth was lined up with the power of the Spirit in his life. This is who Jesus was. It was what he was like. There are times, right, God gives us these big directions, and then there are times where he will talk to you directly about a way that he wants you to share, a way that he wants you to be involved or to act or to do, right, to be the good news, to go and talk to somebody or pray for someone or just be kind to them. Or he might say to you, go and serve or love that people group, like whether it's children or the homeless or whatever it is. And we have to trust him. We have to trust him. His guiding and leading, even when we don't understand, with the understanding that as he guides us and leads us, his Spirit will empower us and help us. Because this is what he desires to do. There's two calls here, remember? The first is to trust him with what he instructs us and tells us to do. And the second is to trust him with his Spirit empowering us. How does the Spirit empower us? Okay, so we've talked a little bit about how we can understand or try to discern his voice, his guiding, his leading Scripture through the Spirit. And the last one is through others. if you find a common theme, direction or wisdom keeps coming up in conversation with people, pay attention to that. It's God trying to use others to talk to you. See, that you, there aren't coincidences within the kingdom of God. Not that way. Right? So if it keeps coming up, it's because God's trying to tell you. He does that because we have relationship with him and we're meant to have relationship with one another. He wants us to rely on and to help one another hear and know God's directions for our life. The other person might not even know that they've helped you know it or understand it. You might go, oh, that's the third person this week that has mentioned this to me. Pay attention to those things. That's quite often God. And so these are some of the ways that we can know. So we're to trust his leading through his word. And then we're to trust the Spirit of God and his empowering us. Right? So God says to Mary, trust me, my word, you know, God's word, the angel says to Mary, God's word will never fail. And then he says, and then the Spirit of God, that the power of God will come upon you. Right? The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So this is the second part, trusting the Holy Spirit's work in our life, in us and through us. See, God's not trying to make the instructions unclear. He's actually trying to lead us into greater places of faith, greater places where the supernatural operates in our life, through us, in us and through us. And willingness is necessary for that. So it happens for us in the very same way that it happens for Mary. We have to be willing. We have to say, okay, God, I understand you're pushing me in this direction or calling me in that direction. Sometimes it's pushing, right? Sometimes it's dragging. And say, God, I want to do what you want to do. And so it starts with willingness. And then God says, I will help you in your willingness. I'll give you my Spirit. My Holy Spirit will come upon you. But that's also an issue of willingness for us. We have to be willing to allow the Spirit to come into our life in an increasing fashion, that we know him more. Happens for us in the same way that it happens for Mary, that the Holy Spirit comes on us. You see it again later in Jesus' life. When he's a grown man and he's about to launch into ministry, he goes and he gets water baptized. And what happens? He comes up out of the water, the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descends on him. And the Spirit comes on him before he heads into ministry. See, this is a pattern that God has established through Scripture for us. The Holy Spirit would come on us. He comes on us to minister to other people. This is one of the things that God desires from us, from his people, is that we allow the Spirit to come on us. Even when things are unclear or confusing, that we say, God, I'll trust you. I'll trust you in this. And so the Spirit comes on us just like in Jesus, just like it did for Mary, just like it did for Jesus. And when we surrender, when we submit, what happens is God creates in us supernatural things. For Mary, right, he creates a baby. For you, God might create in you. Well, let me ask you this. What are some of the main ways that Jesus demonstrated the gospel while he was here on earth in his time in ministry? I think there was three main ways, and there could be others, but I think there's three main ways, and I think that they still apply to us today. I think the three main ways that Jesus demonstrated the gospel was through miracles, the miraculous. I think he demonstrated the good news by setting people free from the demonic. So you see him regularly interact with forces of darkness, and he deals with them. And then I think the third way that you often see Jesus demonstrate the gospel is just through the life of God, right? The life of God in him and through him. Here's what I mean by that. Jesus, right, gets water baptized. He's filled with the Spirit. And then he begins to minister. He's doing miracles. He's casting out demons, dealing with demonic things in people's lives. And all this time, people are incredibly attracted to him. They want to be around him. partly because of the miracles and the supernatural things that are happening. But what you see over and over again are people that are far from God want to be up close to Jesus. He is the demonstration of what the Christian life is supposed to look like for us. And these people that are far from God, they invite them over to their home. Right? They invite them to their weddings. They invite Jesus to their parties because they like being around him. Why do they like being around him? Because the Spirit of God is just coming out of his life. It's just flowing out of him. You see, he's living in places of life. And it's incredibly attractive to the world around us. It's incredibly attractive to the world around us because it's actually what we were created for. Mankind was not created for sin and death. We understand that we're born into that, and if without Jesus, that's where we end up. But what we were actually created for was to live and move in the Spirit, the life that God has given us. And so Jesus demonstrates this. And as he's demonstrating it, right, that he's telling them truth. So he's saying to them things like, okay, that sin that you're living in, you need to turn away from that and come engage and live in the life that God has for you. As he's living in this life of God that's just flowing out of him, he finds himself in situations where the miraculous needs to happen, where demonic things need to be dealt with. He is the demonstration of the normal Christian life. So I ask you the question, right? What might God be leading you to do? And what's happened for so many years in church is this thought that the really big things that God wants to do is reserved for somebody special, like Mary. But Mary was just a common person. We have to trust him that God wants to do the supernatural in common people. God's agreeing. Right, for years in church, there's this idea that it's just really special people that God does miracles through. It's just really special people, maybe, that deal with darkness and demonic things. And yet God would say, that isn't my plan. That wasn't my plan. My plan was, Jesus comes and shows you how it looks. He leaves and the Holy Spirit comes. And then we all look like Jesus. That's the plan. And so we have to trust him that he wants to use everyday, ordinary people to do the supernatural. That means you. That means me. Each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. God wants to use you to do the things that Jesus did, to be like him on this earth. However that looks, so much so that people that are far from God are going to look at you and say, I don't know what it is about you, but I need to be around you. I need to know you. This is what God desires for it to look like for us. It was how Jesus demonstrated the gospel, the good news. And it's how he wants to use you and me. We have to trust him. Just as Mary did, we have to trust him that his word will never fail and that he wants to use everyday people to do supernatural things. So you can think, but I don't have that gifting. I'm not qualified. I don't know enough. I'm not good enough. And God says, that doesn't matter. My word never fails. It might not look the way you think it should. Right? Have you ever put something together without instructions and you got done and thought, that isn't how it's supposed to look? It might not look like you think it's supposed to. Right? When Adam approached those three guys, they weren't all into it. And yet he knew that God had told him to go and talk to them. Just because you get a reaction that you're not expecting or don't want doesn't mean that God isn't still at work in you and in them. So the first step in all this is the willingness for the Holy Spirit to come on you and to direct and redirect your life. And in God's mind, that willingness to let the Holy Spirit come on you and the willingness to partner with him is one and the same thing. Because he never, like the Spirit doesn't come on you just for you. It comes on you for others. He fills you to overflowing so that we can be like Jesus to others. So this is what I'm asking, God may be asking from you this morning. He might be asking you to take a risk, to step out of your comfort zone, to do or to be involved in something maybe you've never done or been involved in before. Will you trust him? Will you allow him, right, to lead you more, to guide you more? Because what he wants is increased faith, increased supernatural in your life, to use you more and more, that you would be the good news to people all around you in this Christmas season. You know, the Christmas season is it's interesting, right? Because we live in a culture that, for the most part, doesn't want a whole lot to do with Christianity. But you reach this time of year where you get this 4 or 6 week stretch where people are just really open to God and to love and to charity. And so we have this neat opportunity to be like Jesus to them. Let me encourage you. So before we go, I'm going to pray for you. And I think that God's going to talk to you about a risk that he wants you to take this week, whatever it is. And then we're going to take a moment and just invite the Spirit of God to come and to rest on us. Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you for Mary, for her willingness. Thank you for her willingness. God, I pray right now for us that we would also have that willing heart, that willing mind and spirit, God. Even when we don't understand, to trust you, that you have a plan, that your word won't fail. God, that we would trust you, that you want to use us, everyday people, for the supernatural. Holy Spirit, I ask right now, you'd speak to each and every one of us about something that you want us to do, a way that you want us to step out, to risk for you, God. Maybe God's already been talking to you about it, and this is a moment just to commit to it and say, okay, Lord, I'm in. I'll do it. I'll trust you that your word never fails. Thank you, God. We'll trust you in the journey of it all. And now, God, we open our heart, our mind to you. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on us. Fill us new and fresh today. Fill us, maybe for the first time, but come, Holy Spirit. We trust you. You want to create supernatural things in us that will benefit, that will bless the world all around us. We'll trust you, God. We'll trust your leading. We'll trust your Spirit. So where you are, I just want to encourage you right now to begin to thank him for his Spirit in your life. Okay? Verbally, sometimes it's just really good for us to begin to move our mouth, begin to move our tongue, and to begin to express our thanks to him out loud. You don't have to be real loud, but just begin to thank him. Say, thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you that you want to do something supernatural in me and through me. Thank you. God, help me to get over the fact that I don't think that I'm qualified, that I don't think I'm good enough or that I know enough. I leave that with you, Jesus, and trust that your word won't fail, that you know what you're doing, even when I don't, and I choose to trust you. Choose to trust you. Come, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. So for the next few minutes, we're just going to respond.